Let's take our Bibles and turn this morning to the book of 1 John. This morning I want to speak on the anointing of God, and we'll be looking at verses that are in the same paragraph as the last time we were here, and there's a stark contrast in them. And so I think it's important that we do recognize that they're related, because in verses 18 and 19 of chapter 2, we learn of Antichrist. And we see that there's not just one Antichrist, they're around us. There could be even in our midst, in a certain sense, because at some point in time they leave, and we know that they're Antichrist because they leave. Remember verses 18 and 19, little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for your word, and I pray that you would help me as we are here together this morning, to be able to open up your word to us. Help us to understand it better. And Lord, I pray that we don't just seek to understand it better, but that we seek to allow it to get into our heart, to change the way that we think, and change the way that we act. I pray that we wouldn't just want to have an higher or more advanced knowledge, but that we would want that for the reasons of serving you better and more faithfully. I ask that your blessing would be upon your word as it is presented and preached this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Verses that we'll be looking at this morning are verses 20 and 21. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. There's a word there that we don't see in the Bible very often. We don't use it, I don't think, hardly at all. Anybody use the word unction in the last week? I didn't think so. And there's one thing if the Bible uses a word that's kind of in passing, and it's kind of a, you can kind of understand what it is from context, and maybe we can understand what this is from context, but it's another thing when that word is the whole topic of the sentence. Okay, but ye have an unction from the Holy One. It's kind of an important word to that sentence. The sentence is ye have, okay, so they're talking about us, or those that are saved, those that John is writing to, they have something. And so it's important to know what that something is. And so we want to understand what that word is, and it should hopefully help us understand what point is of what he's saying there. Now, I am not trying to be real deep or anything, and hopefully, I'm going, and as we finish, I'm going to take just a narrow application of this. But before we can apply the scriptures, we have to know what the scriptures say, and not just be able to pronounce the words. We have to understand what they say and know, and then we can make application. I'm going to make a narrow application at the end, but the narrow application will have broad implications. Okay, I know I'm using big words there, but we're college students or high school students. High school boys, we'll have to figure out another word to explain that to you guys. Anyway, but ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Now, the word unction could mean an unguent, U-N-G-U-E-N-T, okay? That's not a word we use even as much as unction. But at least when I see that, it makes me think along the lines of what most all agree that the word means, and that would be an anointing, okay? An unguent, meaning the kind of like the aroma that would come from an oil, okay? So we have an anointing from the Holy One. There's probably a lot of anointings, but particularly when I think of the word anointing, I'm reminded of Aaron. Remember that Aaron, the high priest, he was anointed. In fact, I just thought of this as I was speaking here. There's a whole psalm devoted to that, isn't there? Whole psalm, what, 118 or something like that? Very whole two or three verses. But speaking of the anointing that was on Aaron and the precious anointing, and it went down his beard and whatever and flowed. But Aaron was anointed. Now, why was Aaron anointed? It's important for us to realize this to get the idea here. Why was Aaron anointed? Why did he need to be anointed? Because he was a priest. And particularly, he was anointed because he was the high priest, right? So the priest was anointed. Another very familiar anointing that I think of is the anointing of David. Remember? Samuel went to the house of Jesse, and he saw one of Jesse's sons, and he says, "Surely the anointed of the Lord is before me." And no, it wasn't him, and it wasn't the next one, and it wasn't us. Finally, Samuel anointed David, and what did he anoint him as? High priest? No, king. He had already anointed Saul king. So we see in the Bible over and over, there's other anointings, but mostly the anointings that we're going to see in the Bible are priests and kings. Now, there was another anointing that happened actually in the Jordan River, wasn't there? In the Jordan River, as Christ came up out of the water, the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove came down and anointed him. The Holy Spirit was anointed. And of course, Christ is both king and priest, isn't he? So, Christ is a kingly priest, or he is both king and priest. And of course, the word Christ means what? He was Jesus, but his name is Christ. And Christ means anointed one, the chosen one. Okay. So, what does Christian mean? If Christ means anointed one, what does Christian mean? We've said it means a little Christ, right? Or a follower of Christ. Someone who's like Christ. But if Christ, if the word Christ is anointed one, that would mean we're anointed ones, aren't we? Okay? Well, how would we understand that? Why would we think we're anointed ones? Because John here says, ye have an unction or an anointing from the Holy One. Right? And Peter says, but ye are a royal priesthood. Okay? Just like Christ was a kingly priest, we are a royal priesthood, and we have an anointing. We have an unction. So as such, we're a royal priesthood, we're Christians. As such, we have an anointing. So what is this anointing? I think it's obvious to you, but I want to work through a few things because it's important for us to understand. Okay? What is this anointing, or what is this unction? Verse 20 says, "But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things." So one of the things that we see about this unction is that it's a gift, right? Ye have an unction from the Holy One. It's a gift. In fact, the word used there has the idea of gift with it also, beyond the idea of an anointing. So you have an unction from the Holy One. Who's the Holy One? In the Bible, most of the time when the words Holy One are together, they're referring to Christ, the Holy One. It could refer to God or the Holy Spirit, but the majority of the times when we see Holy One, it refers to Christ. And so we have an unction, a gift from the Holy One, and so it's from Christ. It's important for us to understand that this gift is not earned. No gift is earned, is it? I mean, that's what we say when we're talking to the lost, right? We go to them and say, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You cannot earn salvation. There's nothing you can do to earn salvation. There's nothing that you can, there's no works you can do, nothing that you can do to receive a gift. In fact, if you do some works, if I give you, okay, you've all heard these things, right? If I say, here, I'm going to give you something, and you say, well, let me work for it. And I say, well, no, I want to give it to you. And finally, you insist, and I relent, and I say, well, okay, well, just do something little. It doesn't have to be much. So then all of a sudden it's not a gift. It's very reasonable, but it's not a gift. But this is a gift. This unction is a gift. It's not something we've earned because there's nothing in us to deserve anything. There's nothing we can do to merit anything. We cannot work to gain this gift. And so it's not earned and it's not intrinsic. Okay, that's a big word. That means inside of us. You get that, guys? The girls know us, right? Intrinsic? Inside of us. Something extrinsic is external. Intrinsic is in us. But this gift is not in us. It's not a part of us. We can neither earn it, and it's not a part of us. So he's not saying, ye have an unction within you, just as a part of your nature. No, ye have an unction from the Holy One. So it's not, we are not good in and of ourselves. We do not have this anointing in and of ourselves. So we reckon, so this gift, this unction, this anointing is a gift, and it's a gift from Christ. Another thing that will help us understand clearly and help us to be able to apply this truth is the results of this gift. Let's look at what the Bible says. It says, but ye have an unction from the Holy One. And would it be plausible to put the word therefore in there? And therefore, ye know all things. And it would help us to understand what this unction is. And therefore, ye know all things. Okay? He wouldn't say, and ye know all things, right? We don't know all things. But because we have this unction from the Holy One, he can say, ye know all things, right? So it's completely reasonable to put the word therefore in there. So a result of having an unction from the Holy One is knowledge. Knowledge of all things, or all knowledge. Now, what does that mean? Okay, he's talking, we would assume he's talking to believers, and there's believers here, we're believers. Anybody want to say that you know everything? No, it does. So it's not referring to encyclopedic knowledge, is it? I mean, Dr. Mitchell is close. Right? He's close. I don't know. I didn't hear, but I did look through the window and saw him preaching up here yesterday, right? Or was he getting that animated in the song leading when I walked by? Seemed like he was preaching. So we have the doctors here this week, in the beginning of the week at least. He knows almost everything. But you know what? I just had a funny thought. If he knows almost everything, that's pretty sad. That's all that there is to know. even if one human being could know everything, that's a ridiculous statement, right? So is God saying that we know everything, every bit of scientific knowledge, every bit of whatever academic knowledge that could be learned? No, okay. We're not contradicting Scripture. We're trying to understand it. Ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. He's not speaking of an encyclopedic knowledge. Now, I will say that's important to recognize because some people claim that type of knowledge. Now, they wouldn't come right out and say it, but some people say, well, I'm the man of God. You ought to listen to me. And they think that man of God who has the unction from the Holy One believes that he can tell you what's the best house for you to buy, you know, what's the right type of food to eat. Some guys come out and they say, you should never eat this, and their whole congregation, no longer. I mean, the stores, all that food stays on the shelves because nobody buys it anymore. Okay, and then what happens? 5 years later, they come up with something else. Oh, you know, you can eat peanut butter now. Now you shouldn't eat jelly or something, right? But some people, particularly leaders, now this is not addressed to leaders, but it's important for us to understand this to get the full understanding. Some people think, well, I'm the man of God, and I can pontificate, I can say things, I know what you should do, or I, about things that are not that relevant to what the Scripture says. Now, I'm not going to say that Bible, we're going to get to the point where we say the Bible does speak to every aspect of our life. Okay, but this is not saying that someone who has an unction from the Holy One knows everything encyclopedically. Because if that's the case, all of us should be doubting that we've ever received this gift from the Holy One. Why would we have a college? Why would we teach anything? You all know it already, right? Because this gift, John is writing to Christians. He's not saying some of you, he says ye, but ye have an unction from the Holy One. We're talking about something that every believer has. Not works to get. It's a gift. We can't work to get it, right? We have it. So it's not encyclopedic knowledge, and it's not supernatural knowledge. It's not esoteric knowledge. Is that a right word? I don't know. It's not, they're not mediums. They're not witches. They're not saying that we can see things afar off or, you know, some type of super. There were times when there were special gifts that, you know, Peter or Paul knew something that happened that they were not there for, but it's not saying that we all have that kind of knowledge. So, by looking at these obvious things that it's not, we're not trying to disparage Scripture, but it's not saying that. So what is it saying? Because it still says, ye know all things. I would say, we could say, we know all necessary things, or we have all necessary knowledge. Necessary to what? Well, to Christianity, to living a Christian life. In this context, what is he contrasting this knowledge with? Antichrist. People, okay, an antichrist is somebody who's going to try to deceive you and tell you things. But he says, but I'm confident that you won't depart. I'm confident that you won't leave the faith. I'm confident that these antichrists won't deceive you because you have an unction from the Holy One and you know all things. You know everything you need to know to stay away from an antichrist. That's what the Scriptures mean. So we know all necessary, we know all things, all necessary things, all necessary knowledge. Now I will say, since we have all necessary knowledge, or knowing that, results in increasing knowledge. Just because, you know, there are a lot of unsaved people that are very smart, smarter than a lot of saved people. Okay, so this verse is not saying that everyone that's saved is smarter than everybody that's not saved. We're not saying that. They have realized something, but you know, math. You can go to a secular school and learn mathematics, things that you didn't know from somebody who doesn't know Christ. Okay, we're not saying these things, but I will say that as we accept and realize that we have knowledge, that results in increasing knowledge. It results in increasing application of knowledge. We know what we need to resist Antichrist, to resist the devil or whatever, but as we realize what that knowledge is, we're going to, our vision or our application of it, our understanding of its application increases. Have you ever read a Puritan writer? You're out there doing your research for Old Testament survey first year, and you get this Puritan writer who, Dr. Mitchell is laughing. Smiling. What happens? You read this guy and you say, how in the world did he say that applied to that? He must have some special knowledge. Well, some people do think that they can find, you know, certain doctrines in places where they obviously are not. But other times, people's minds are so filled with the Word of God and they're so anointed from the Holy One. Their knowledge of the Word of God is so thorough that they begin to see that it applies in more areas than it is commonly seen. Okay? Isn't that what growth is? We start out as young Christians, we say, well, I need to do this. Well, what happens when you start obeying and following that knowledge that you have? All of a sudden you learn, oh, I probably, seems like I shouldn't do this either, or it seems like I should do this. And then we start doing that, and what happens? Our knowledge increases. Okay, so we have enough knowledge to, we have all the knowledge we need, but even as we follow that knowledge, obey that knowledge, apply that knowledge to our lives, we have increasing knowledge, increasing application of knowledge. And it results in changing actions. And that's what knowledge should do. And it's something that I have to remember myself. I love to learn things. I'm just that way. Some of you don't like to learn things. Some of you like to do things. Okay? But I love to learn things. But I can't, learning is not the end. Reading it, understanding it is not the end. God gave us His Word not just so that we would read it and understand it. It should have a result. It should change actions. It should change our habits. It should change who we are. Okay, and so as we, since we have this knowledge and we grow in our understanding of it, it should change what we do. It should change our habits. And it will continue to change. Has anybody got to the place where there's nothing in their life they need to change? There's no habit in their life that they couldn't improve or fix, correct? No. So even though we have all necessary knowledge, as we apply and understand that, our knowledge should increase. Increasing knowledge, increasing application of the knowledge, increasing changing of our actions, habits, and character. So this unction from the Holy One is a gift from Christ. Christ is the Holy One that results in knowledge. Right? I think it should be obvious to us. What gift from Christ gives us all knowledge? What gift from Christ gives us all knowledge? Okay, high schoolers, this is the verse that was always during the spring candy sale, and it was nice because it was that long 8-verse passage that it couldn't, you know, didn't ever have to learn. But it's an important verse. Turn in your Bibles to John 16. Is this where you were thinking of? John 16, verse 13. What gift from Christ gives us all knowledge? John 16, verse 13. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you, where? Into all truth. He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. He shall glorify Me. So Christ is here in the upper room, in that time period, and He says, I have to leave. I'm going to send you something. I'm going to give you something. I'm going to give you someone, a comforter. And when He has come, the Spirit of truth, He will guide you into all truth. So, and I believe, first of all, this is connected. It's clearly connected. One reason that's not as strong is that the same apostle was written to give us both of these verses. I know Christ said the one, but God reminded John, or God used John to tell us of the one and this. Okay? So John wrote both of these books. The next thing, the other reason why it's clearly connected is that it's not just verse 20 back in our text says all things. The very next verse, it's not just all things. He says, I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it and that no lie is of the truth. John is connecting here the gift from the Holy One with the knowledge of the truth. In 1 John, in John 16, Jesus said, I'm going to send you a comforter. I have to leave so that He can come. And when He comes, the Spirit of truth will guide you into all truth. These ideas are directly connected. So verse 21 says, you know the truth, and you know that no lie is of the truth. So the point here is, John says there's many antichrists. You've heard of the spirit of Antichrist. There's many of them. Some were among you, but they've left. And we know that they were antichrists because they left. They manifested themselves as being antichrist, against Christ, because they left. But you, I'm confident of you. You have an unction from the Holy One. You have a gift from Christ. You have an anointing from Christ. And you know all things. I haven't written unto you because you don't know the truth, but because you do know the truth, and you know that no lie is of the truth. I want to make a narrow application of this truth now. What gift from Christ gives us all knowledge? It's the Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the unction from the Holy One. Now, we have this unction, but ye have an unction. Okay? You have it. If you've trusted Christ as your Savior, if you've turned to Him for salvation, He's forgiven your sins, He has given you the Holy Ghost. It's not something that we work for. It's not something that we earn. It's not the gifts, the things that the Spirit gives us are not something that's in us. It's a gift to us. But we have it. And the Spirit helps us or allows us to know all necessary things. It's through the work of the Spirit, we know everything. Okay? Ye have an unction from the Holy One. Ye have, and we could say, ye have the Holy Spirit and know all things. Right? Ye have an unction from the Holy One. If an unction from the Holy One is the Holy Spirit, ye have the Holy Spirit and know all things. But before we said, why did he didn't just say, ye know all things? So ye know all things is conditional on the first sentence. So he said, ye have the Holy Spirit and therefore know all things. You know all things because of the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit helps or allows us to know all necessary things. How does he do that? How does he do that? What is the Holy Spirit's primary work? What is his first work? What is his magnum opus? What is his biggest, what's the biggest product that he has produced, the biggest work that he has produced, his most important work? Most of you have it sitting in your lap. Okay? The Holy Spirit's greatest work is this right here. Now, he does work beside this, but this is his greatest work. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, right? The Holy Spirit gave us this. He is God, but His person is the one instrumental in giving us His Word. So, how do we know all things? We look at the Scriptures. We know everything necessary for life from the Scriptures. Now, I'm not saying that completely, but firstly. It's his first work. Now let's take a thought experiment as an illustration. How many of you have ever been in a class? Been in a class, okay. Now this may not have happened to you. You may have been given in a class, I can imagine more in a shop type class, where you're given some process that you were supposed to follow, some product that you were supposed to produce. And in that class, the instructor had this type of class for a long, long time. He's taught it over and over and over again. And so, finally, he has, over the years, produced an instruction manual. And so, he's got this instruction manual, and he says to you, now, in this class, we're going to finally end up doing this. You're going to produce this. And it seems impossible to do, but there's tried and true methods to get it accomplished, and I have written out the instructions for you to follow. If you follow these instructions, you will produce this. Everyone gets their own instruction manual. I've been doing this long enough. I've had students who have, just with me around, they've been able to just follow the instruction manual and completely produce what I wanted in just the way necessary. They never had to ask me another question. Okay? Imagine yourself in that situation. Everybody gets their manual, And what do? You start reading it. But right next to you is some guy, and he starts fretting. He says, how in the world are we supposed to do that? I mean, that's impossible. This guy is crazy. Why would he even ask us to come up with that? And what did he do? He raised his hand. Teacher, how am I supposed to do this? Mr. Kelso is laughing back there. He has given instructions out before, and somebody's like, oh, that I can't do that. How am I supposed to do that? Mr. Kelso, or teacher, how am I supposed to do that? What is the teacher going to say? I told you how to do it. If you read the instructions and you try to follow them and you still don't understand, I'll be glad to help you. Right? But if you're not going to read the instructions, you can sit there with your hand up all day long. Okay? Now God, the Holy Spirit, has already done all the work for us to know everything that we need to know in our Christian life. A lot of us get down on our knees and we beg the Holy Spirit to tell us stuff, and we haven't looked at what He's written out for us to learn from. In a certain sense, I'm not going to try to etch out the stone up there. But before you go out to find God's will and do it, let's start by just reading God's will and doing it. Okay? In our pastor's, life, he has said that he could count on one hand the number of times when he needed to hear from the Holy Spirit directly what needed to be done. Okay? All right? And I'm not saying he doesn't pray. Please don't get me wrong. I'm not saying he doesn't pray. But you read the Bible, and the Holy Spirit says, yep, you're doing what's right. Or no, he takes peace, he gives peace. There's a few times when you're going to marry somebody, their name is not in the Bible. Well, maybe their name is in the Bible. That doesn't mean that they're the one for you. Okay? Okay. Something like that. But even that, you guys, the point is not that we just say, Lord, is she the one? He's going to say, well, I've told you some things already about the one for you. They should be saved. Right? That's obvious. But is that all that God, okay, I've showed you what a Christian home should be like. Now look at yourself. What about her? When you get together, are you going to be able to have a Christian home? You're going to have to be able to lead her. Okay? And I'm just an obvious thing. If you're dumber than a box of rocks and she's not, you're going to have a hard time leading her. You say, well, that's not very spiritual. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And that's the point I'm trying to make. We the Bible tells us, the Holy Spirit has told us a lot of things, and we say, God, tell me. He says, read the instructions. If you can't understand that, if you're trying to follow them, I'll be there for you. Okay? So, ye have an unction. We have the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit helps us know all things. How? And His first work, I don't mean this first chronologically, but His greatest work, His highest in importance, is the Word of God. I hesitate to say this, but because I feel like sometimes I'm the only one that says this, and I know I'm not. But it needs to be said this way, because our tendency, we want magical stuff. We want magic dust. We want Holy Spirit dust to fall on us and just like open our eyes. We want to feel like all of a sudden we're the man of God and we know everything. The Holy Spirit has shown me. The Holy Spirit has given us tons. So much. I'm not saying you don't need to ask, but there's so much there. We could take a lifetime just understanding what it says. Now, He helps us understand it. He's given it to us, and He helps us understand it at the same time. Right? But don't come to the Holy Spirit asking Him to give you something that He's already given you. And that's what I'm saying is my narrow application. We could take these verses and think of them in a lot of ways, but narrowly, we have an unction from the Holy One, the Holy Spirit. And his biggest work is the Scriptures. So Christ gave us the Spirit, and he gave us the Spirit, why? To guide us into all truth. And all truth is here. Everything we need to know for truth is here. You say, well, how can I pass my chemistry test with this? Well, for one, this will tell you to be diligent about your studies. Okay? Have you ever prayed? Oh, yes. Lord, please help us. Lord, please help us to understand and remember the things the teacher taught. You never want the guy to pray, Lord, please help us to remember the things we studied. We have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. You know everything you need to. Everything we need is in here, right? We're not going to contradict that. Now, we're human beings. Sometimes we don't understand it the way we should, and the Holy Spirit is there, the instructor. The Holy Spirit is there to help us understand it, to help us apply it. We're going through life, and we're doing something, and we think, we think we're doing fine. Someday we read our Bible, and it says, no, sure seems like I shouldn't be doing that. We obey it, and all of a sudden life gets better, doesn't it? Because we obey, and we had to change something we thought was just fine. The Holy Spirit does that. He helps us, but it was there all along. My point here is to give you confidence in the Scriptures. You say, well, I was confident in the Scriptures, but so much that it changed, that it's not just in our knowledge. Our confidence in the Scriptures is not just knowledge. We want knowledge that does what? Not knowledge for the sake of knowledge. We want knowledge that increases. We say, well, the Bible, this is good for helping me know how to win people to Christ. Well, it's good for more than that. Okay? And the more we learn it, the more we know it's good for even more. But also, it should apply to our life. We don't want to just say, yep, everything we need is in there, and we walk out of chapel, and the next morning in our devotions, we're praying and asking God to show us something that he's already showed us. I'm not saying stop asking. But I'm saying start looking for the answers here. The answers are here. And the Holy Spirit will use this to confirm to you what you find here. The Holy Spirit will confirm or say, you're not really understanding that right. It'll lead you somewhere else. Uh-oh, it's for you. I think I'm supposed to stop. It says 11:45. So when that stops, we're done. Oops. Took away our thoughts from where we were, though, didn't it? The Holy Spirit is given to us. He's given us his word. Get into it. Get into it. Read it. Read it quickly and attentively. Read it slowly and thoroughly. So many different ways. Let's get into the Word of God and allow the Holy Spirit to use his primary work to show us what we ought to do. And as we do what we learn, we will learn that there's more to do and learn.